Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sistema second quarter 2017 financial results call on the 30th of August 2017. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Sistema. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intend, will, could, may, or might, the negative of such terms or similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from these contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions or competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Sistema and its operations. I will now hand the conference over to Eugenie Chokas. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to Sistema's second quarter 2017 results call. We have with us today presenting Mikhail Shamolin, our President and CEO, Selat Rozanov, Senior Vice President and CFO, and myself, Evgeny Chukov, Head of Corporate Communications. We'll start off with Mikhail, and I'll hand over the call to him for his comments.
Thank you for joining us today. I will start with an overview of our financial results, and then we will discuss recent developments around the Rosneft, the system has been involved in. Our second quarter results demonstrate resilience of our business model and quality of our management teams as Sistema portfolio companies remain completely focused on developing their businesses, improving efficiency, and growing shareholder value. Our Russian assets increased their consolidated revenues by 1% year-on-year and their OIBDA by 9%. All our key assets delivered positive OIBDA. MTS returned to revenue growth and its OIBDA margin improved significantly to 41%. As the market environment became more favorable and profitability pressures from retail subsided. It is encouraging to see that the company has improved its guidance for OIBDA growth to over 4% this year. I would like to highlight the performance of our second publicly traded asset, children's goods retailer Detskiy Mir, following its IPO in February. Since the placement, Detskiy Mir's share price grew by 16%, while the MySix index was down 8%. This underscores the success of the transaction, which reopened Russian IPOs for international investors, benefiting the Russian economy as a whole. In the second quarter, Detskiy Mir continued to consolidate the children's goods market in Russia, leveraging its market share and pricing powers. The company grew revenues by 21% year-on-year and adjusted OIBDA by 41%. Private healthcare group MedSi saw another strong quarter with revenue increasing by 20% thanks to growth in the number of patient visits, the rollout of new modern facility opened last year at Krasnaya Presnaya, and an increase in the average check. Adjusted OIBDA was up ninefold with a margin of 14%. Real estate developer Leader Invest increased the number of square meters sold by 89% year-on-year, driven by expansion of the offering in Moscow. Leader Invest continues to capitalize on its portfolio of unique infill projects in Moscow. During the second quarter, the company launched construction in three new projects and its total offering reached 103,000 square meters. Segezha Group, our paper and packaging holding, increased revenues by 8% year-on-year despite pressures related to a stronger ruble. The company is on track to expand capacities across key products and to implement its new program to maximize operating efficiency and reduce operational costs. Agricultural holding STIP continues to gain scale, integrating new assets and investing in R&D and new modern facilities. Production of wheat increased by 49% year-on-year in current harvest season, promising another strong year for the steppe. During the quarter, steppe posted 2 billion rubles of OIBDA, reflecting a revaluation of assets. We continue to see strong M&A and investment momentum across the portfolio. During the second quarter, steppe expanded its land bank by an additional 20,000 hectares with the acquisition of a land crop business in the Stavropol region. In August, METSI invested in the acquisition of a large clinic in St. Petersburg, thus entering Russia's second largest healthcare market. In the high-tech segment, we signed an MOU with tech corporation Rostech to form a JV in microelectronics. This partnership will merge the country's leading microelectronic enterprises, including Systemas Micron, and will bring Russian microelectronics to a new level. Turning to the court case brought against us by Rosneft. As you are aware, in May, we received a legal claim seeking damages in the amount of 106.6 billion rubles for losses that Bashneft allegedly incurred due to its reorganization. Soon thereafter, the claimants increased the size of the claim to 170.6 billion rubles. In June, as part of the case, the court issued an order to arrest assets owed by Systema and Systema Invest, in particular 32% in MTS, 100% in MITSI, and 90% of Bashkirian Power Grid Company. On 23rd of August, the court partially satisfies the claim, ordering Systema and its subsidiary Systema Invest to pay alleged damages of 100.3 billion rubles. As we have said, we believe the claim and the Bashkortostan court decision to be completely unfounded and unlawful. All the corporate actions mentioned in the claim were done in full compliance with the Russian laws and received all necessary corporate approvals. The reorganization was done in anticipation of Bashneft's share placement on the international markets and was aimed at increasing Bashneft's value by streamlining the shareholding structure. All of the transactions in question were done transparently and for the entire market. Bashneft benefited from the reorganization in question and never incurred any damages as a result of it. This position is supported by absence of losses in the Bashneft accounts as well as by top experts and legal practitioners. Unfortunately, all of our motions, including an offer to appoint independent experts to assess any possible loss, have been harshly rejected while important evidence was brushed away. In this context, we think the court's decision will have a strong negative impact on the Russian corporate sector and the entire economy. In recognizing losses of Bashneft due to its reorganization, the judge has in fact cast into question the legal nature of standard corporate actions such as divestment of non-core assets, M&A deals, share buybacks, cancellation of shares. The judge partially satisfied the most absurd of the claimant's demands, which are making Systema liable for change in macro indicators, in particular the ruble exchange rate against the U.S. dollar. The court's decision has not come into action. According to Russian law, from the day when the court's full decision is published, Systema has 30 days to file an appeal with the 18th Arbitrage Appeal Court in Chelyabinsk, which we will certainly do. Consequences of this case for Systema are yet to be seen. However, the court's decision is already putting pressures on the corporate center's investment plans, the confidence of our investors and creditors, and on our strategic initiatives. It is understandable that all of our investors have questions as to various ways Systema could settle the awarded amount if it is unsuccessfully appealed in further courts. It is also clear that the amount awarded is of extremely material size and may impact our business going forward. Having said all this, we are absolutely confident that there is no legal basis for the appeal to court, for the appeal court to support the Bashkortostan court decision. And while there may be different options available to Systema in order to satisfy the claim, we believe it is premature to discuss them on this call now. While naturally the events that have occurred have made us cautious in terms of our investment plans as of today, we see no reasons for any changes in investment programs, dividend policies, or financial plans for our portfolio companies. Should we or our subsidiaries take such decisions, we will inform the market in due course. In the meantime, I would like to assure you that we will continue to vigorously defend our interests by all legal means and remain committed to maximum transparency around the court proceedings. We also would like to thank those shareholders that have provided their support to the company and its management team. I will now hand over the call to our CFO, Всеволод Розанов, who will provide you with more color on our financial position.
Thank you, Mikhail, and thank you all for joining us today. Let me come back to financial results of Sistema in the second quarter. We recorded robust growth of adjusted EBITDA of 8% year-on-year. At MTS, EBITDA improved by 8% year-on-year, mainly driven by stronger revenues and improved efficiencies of the retail operations. Our non-telecom assets increased their adjusted EBITDA by 12%, with a margin of 12.8%, up from 11.6% in the same quarter last year. Apart from MTS, EBITDA growth was particularly strong at AgroHolding Step and MTS Bank, where return to profitability was driven by risk optimization strategy and development of the retail business in partnership with MTS, illustrating the potential for leveraging synergies among our portfolio assets. As Mikhail mentioned, all group's major operating businesses ended the reporting quarter with positive EBITDA results. Strong operating income growth at the Russian assets was partially offset by a planned EBITDA loss of 1.4 billion rubles at our Indian telecom subsidiary SSTL, which is preparing for merger transaction with a larger local player, Reliance Communications, and has thus frozen business since last year. Consolidated sales, general, and administrative expenses were flat year-on-year at 38 billion rubles, reflecting lower SG&A due to optimization of retail costs at MTS, as well as good cost discipline at the corporate center. At the corporate center level, SG&A expenses remained well under control, contracting by 25% year-on-year to 1.5 billion rubles. Capital expenditures at the group level in the reporting quarter decreased by 24.8% year-on-year, largely as a result of a capex decrease at MTS. Now let me discuss our debt and liquidity position, as well as the impact of the Rosneft case on our liabilities. The group's total debt increased by 11.5% in the reporting quarter and by 8.8% during the first 6 months of the year to 529 billion rubles, driven mainly by the new borrowings on MTS and corporate center. The majority of the group's borrowing continues to be denominated in rubles, with the share of ruble debt at 71%. In April 2017, we strengthened our cash position and further optimized liabilities of the corporate center by issuing 15 billion rubles of public domestic debt. In the same month, we received 10 billion loan from the Russian State Bank, and in June, 15 billion ruble loan from another bank as a part of the long-term credit line. Both loans are unsecured, which reflects strong trust of our creditors and Sistema and its financial position. During the second quarter, we repaid a total of 16 billion ruble debt. As a result of these transactions, the corporate center financial liabilities, including debt and payables for SSTL and Micron shares, were up 21% in the second quarter to 156 billion rubles. The majority of debt at the corporate center level is public, with the ruble bonds and euro bonds together accounting for 46% of liabilities, while 31% is represented by bank loans. Cash position at the corporate center reached 36.2 billion rubles, as we also received proceeds from the sale of Targin and profitable exit of Sistema Capital Partners from one of the real estate investments. Now I would like to elaborate on the impact that the Rosneft case has had on our debt obligations. In the third quarter of 2017, the arrest of Sistema and Sistema Invest assets as a part of the Rosneft case triggered the non-compliance by Sistema with certain conditions of the three credit facilities. As a result of this non-compliance, technical default on the certain credit balance sheet obligations totaling 12.8 billion rubles has occurred, which means that lenders have the right to demand accelerated payments under these agreements. I would like to stress that Sistema's financial position remains strong. The company is servicing its credit and financial obligations, whether public or non-public, in a timely manner and in full, and plans to continue doing so in the future. During the third quarter, we repaid approximately $97 million to the Russian government for SSTL shares and also paid coupon on our public debt. We are in ongoing transactions with all our lenders and have requested waivers in connection with the breach of the credit agreements conditions to the assets arrest. At this point of time, we do not have reasons to believe that any creditor will accelerate payments on our contracts, which means that our liquidity position remains comfortable and our relationships with the key lenders are strong. As we have mentioned earlier, we believe it is premature to comment any further on our financial position depending on the outcome on the court case, and we appreciate your understanding. Naturally, we will keep the market updated on any developments. As always, you can find more detailed information on our debt maturity profile, the group's financial results, and breakdown by individual companies in the presentation and press release published on our website. Thank you for your attention, and I will now hand the call back to Evgeny.
Thank you, Psevolod. Before we take questions, I'd like to remind all of the participants that due to the ongoing nature of this litigation, as mentioned by Mikhail, we'd like to refrain from speculating on the outcome of the court case, and therefore we would welcome questions around the current operating and financial performance. Operator, we're now ready to take questions. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. And we'll now take our first question from Alexander Vengranovich from Authorized Capital.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Two questions from my side. So first, can you please provide more color on your planned M&A pipeline for the rest of 2017? In which industries should we expect any new deal? And what sort of a potential size should we expect? And if you have any understanding of the timing, that will be also helpful. And the second question, do you have any changes in your thinking regarding the timing of the potential IPOs for Singeja, Leader Invest, and Step Holding, the assets which are, as far as I consider, are the closest to the public offering? Thank you.
Thank you for your question. As far as M&A program is concerned, typically, we don't make any forward-looking statements on this, and in our particular situation today, obviously, until we get clarity as to where this case is going to end up, we are not going to be undertaking any significant M&A deals. So I think we'll come back to this question in a month or so. And as far as potential IPO timing for Segeja and Step, I think Step should be IPO ready by second half of 2018 and beyond, and Segeja and Leader Invest, I think we're talking about late 2018, early 2019 as an IPO readiness. Whether we will do an IPO or not, of course, will depend on the conditions of the market, our position at the time, our strategy with the assets, but as far as the readiness, I think sort of end of 2018 is what we're talking about.
Okay, then maybe can I have a brief follow-up on the first question? I've noticed you had quite a substantial build-up of your cash position over the second quarter. Can you please outline the main reasons for the new debt which you raised? Thank you.
That's a question to Vsevolod Rozanov.
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Cash or
yes, sure. You've accumulated additional 16 billion rubles of cash over the second quarter, and I'm just wanting to understand what sort of reasons you have behind it.
Well, one of the reasons is that we need to service ongoing repayments of the Russian government put, and as you know, we have a general program to decrease the gross level of our debt, and that was one of the requirements. We definitely have a few small investments. As you know, we every quarter or every half year, we continue to invest and increase our land bank and agri holding step. There are a few other small things, so that's we are getting, say, ready and prepared for such investments.
Okay, thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Alec Hospiti from Renaissance Capital.
Yes, I appreciate again that there's certain limitation of what you can say, but I was just curious in terms of your corporate center debt repayment schedule for the next 2-3 years. Just on the qualitative side, at least, do you consider parts of it, and if you can say how big the part which could be refinanced or could be pushed out in terms of the repayment, if you can comment on that. Thank you.
I think, you know, to answer this and any other questions in this regard, which is basically can be translated into if the worst happens, will we be able to pay? The answer is very simple. Our assets exceed the amount of claim, and our assets also exceed the amount of claim plus the amount of net debt. So under the worst of the circumstances, yes, we will be able to pay. It will be a different sistema, obviously, than it is today, but it's not the end, so to speak. However, we're not discussing this scenario. We're not looking at this scenario. We're not kind of acting under the understanding that this will be the scenario. So we really would prefer not to discuss it at this call, and we will wait until the results of the arbitration court. And I can remind you that besides the arbitration court, we also have cassation, so-called, which is sort of the third level, and then eventually we have the Верховный суд, the Supreme Court, and, you know, our intention is to pursue our legal defense up until the very end and up until the very high levels, because basically, as we said many times, we believe that our legal position is very strong. You know, such things as share buybacks, cancellation of treasury stock, and especially depreciation of ruble against the dollar cannot be under any circumstances considered damages. So I think that if the court looks at that from a fair and legal perspective, you know, our chances to win this case are extremely high.
Okay. Thank you very much, Nicole. I appreciate the color.
We'll now take our next question from Olga Dystrova from Credit Suisse.
Good evening. So can I ask you a question about your credit lines? I don't know if that's sort of within the realms of prohibited questions, but in general, you obviously raised 15 billion rubles from a bank in June. Can you suggest maybe that how many banks do you have credit lines, and can you at least hint on what size of that those credit lines are? That would be very much appreciated. The second question, you mentioned a couple of sort of timeline on your potential appeals. Can you remind us of the dates, either of the next hearings or whether you submitted the appeal in the 18th arbitration court already? And so what kind of dates we should be looking, not looking for, but looking to watch. And the third question, you previously, and I understand the sensitivity around it, you previously mentioned that sort of MTS within your portfolio of assets is not the key growth company. Regardless of what is happening with legal claim, do you still consider maybe reducing the exposure to MTS relative to other assets? Or this is... maybe I'll just stop there. Thank you very much.
Let me start with the schedule of hearings so we kind of put that behind us. The first level court in Bashkortostan took the decision on August 23rd. From August 23rd, we have 30 days to file an appeal. So supposedly that brings us, we can file an appeal earlier, but that potentially brings us to 23rd of September. How the arbitration court is going to schedule its hearings, how quickly the process is going to be, we cannot foresee at this point. I would imagine that it will take from a minimum of probably 2-3 weeks to a maximum of 2-3 months. Again, if in case we lose in the arbitration court, there is another 6 weeks to file in the cassation court, and then, depending on the decision of the cassation court, it's probably another few months to get the case through to the Supreme Court. That's kind of the timing. Again, the further the outlook is, the more difficult it is to pinpoint exact dates. But of course, it's clear that if the case is lost by Sistema in arbitration court, then Sistema will be obligated to pay. If the decision is later changed by cassation court or Supreme Court, the money is going to be returned back to Sistema.
Arbitration court decision will trigger the payment, and then it might be reversed if that was successful in other instances, right?
Typically, it works like this. However, there are cases when even the decision of the arbitration court is not being put into action, and there are motions filed to suspend the action on the decision of the arbitration court until the cassation court, but they're legal specifics that, again, very difficult to discuss at this point. Of course, we will use every opportunity available to us to pursue all the legal arguments that that we have to the fullest degree. Again, size of the credit lines, I can just answer your question. We will be able to raise the money necessary to pay for the claim from banks. Obviously, we will have to use our MTS shares and maybe shares of other assets as collateral, but it is possible to raise this kind of money. I'm not going to go into specifics of the credit lines and negotiations with the banks, but it is possible. Do we consider reducing exposure to MTS? Well, we always are considering reducing exposure to different assets as a part of our investment strategy, but there are no immediate decisions made on sale of MTS stock at this point.
Well, maybe I can add a few words on the
credit lines.
There are approximately 75 billion rubles of the credit lines at the moment with five banks, and this is, of course, a evolving process, but in general, we believe that this is something which is suiting us at the moment.
And just to add a few more words on the timeline in terms of the future courts. So the court decision took place on the 23rd. The court has 5 days to publish the judgment. 5 days expired today, and we then have 30 days to appeal. Just for clarity in terms of when the appeal could take place.
Yeah, that is correct.
And clearly, as Mikhail said, no action will be taken. Any action can only be taken if we lose the appeal court. So no decisions come into effect just yet.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
We'll now take our next question from Avan Kim with VTB Capital.
Good afternoon. Two questions. With regards to using the shares of MTS and other subsidiaries as collateral, I just was wondering whether you can utilize all of your assets right now as a pledge against the loan. That's question number one. The question number two, So considering different options to get the money, so you mentioned 75 billion rubles of credit lines, you mentioned the pledge of the shares, would you also consider borrowing from some of your subsidiaries, let's say MTS? Thank you.
I would really refrain from discussing in any more detail exactly how we would go about raising money if we have to make a payment. I think it is sufficient to say that we assess the situation. We believe we can do it. We will be able to do it. But I would really prefer not to go into details of exactly what kind of shares we will be using as collateral, what kind of credit lines, what kind of assets, because there are many different scenarios, and right now we are focused not on those scenarios, but rather on how to win the case in the arbitration court.
And we'll now take our next question from Maxim Tumilovich, who is a private investor.
Hello, could you please explain why in the second quarter the corporate center was obliged to take over debt from business individuals?
Sorry, can you clarify the question? What do you mean obliged?
Okay. You state in your presentation that you raised at 5 billion rubles of debt from banks. In my understanding, that a misstatement in the sense that you took over a debt of business individuals upon the power system itself with the amount due in the assets. Why this happened?
I think, first of all, we missed a part of the question, but still kind of it's not very clear what do you mean by taking over the debt of business individuals. We didn't take any debt over from business individuals neither in the Q2 nor before, so...
Where do you see that in the presentation? We don't see it
anymore. Yeah.
It's not in the presentation, it's in the Russian quarterly statement for the second quarter. You had 25 billion.
We'll have our investor liaison come back to you because we don't have any recollection of taking over any of the business individuals' debt onto Sistema.
Okay.
We simply cannot do it. We can write off some of the debt that business individuals owes to Sistema, but we have not done any such write-offs, and business individuals is a separate legal entity. We cannot borrow money in place of business individuals. I mean, they are a going concern. They have strong balance sheet. They have no cash flow issues, so there is no reason for us to be taking over any debt for them.
Well, you can transfer assets and liabilities upon the corporate center. That's what I mean. That's what I understand from your quarterly Russian statements.
So I think, again, let's come back to this through our IR system. Maybe the question which you have is related to restructuring of the business divisions and consolidation of our assets there. But let's be specific. We do not have anything, we do not have any recollection of what you say. So let's have a writing discussion for this topic.
Okay, thank you. A second question, please. Your bonds currently are traded well below the notional value. Do you have any plans to repurchase them from the market?
We do not have such plans at the moment.
We'll now take our next question from Beatrice Abushti from East Capital.
Thank you for nice operational results. I actually also have some questions on the operations itself. First of all, we had some cost inflation in Sigir. I understand a part of that is due to the ruble, but I would be very happy to hear if you could just develop that a bit more because there were some other costs coming up, and also when we could see some improving margins, considering that you have a program to optimize costs. And then my second question is how much of land you intend to buy for Steppe this year, following the acquisitions of 20 hectares in Q2, and also if you have any more insight on the approval of the Siam transaction from the Indian side. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. On Sigeja, one thing I can say that we expect EBITDA of this year in euro terms to be slightly higher than EBITDA last year, perhaps as sort of 10 to 15% higher. But we'll see more clearly towards the end of third quarter. In rubles, yes, EBITDA of Sigeja is lower than last year, but that is almost 100% of that is due to re-evaluation of the ruble, because about 70% of Sigeja product is sold outside of Russia in hard currency, and all the costs incurred inside of Russia, and therefore change in exchange rate puts serious pressure on the ruble EBITDA. But again, if you transfer it for the performance sake comparison in euros, the performance actually has not deteriorated of Sigeja. And yes, there is new management, and there is quite an aggressive program to reduce and optimize operating costs. Besides, Sigeja is adding new capacity as a part of its investment program, and we expect the company to develop according to its quite aggressive business plan. As far as Steppe is concerned, exactly this year, I will not give you a guidance. I can only say that right now we consolidate around 370,000 hectares of land, and our intermediate target is around 500,000 hectares. So the remaining 130,000 hectares is something that we are looking at. We have a pipeline, but I will not give you exact timing on when some of those deals are going to close. But we are working on them, and the strategy is still there. SSTL transaction, we've pretty much went through all the necessary approvals in courts. We're waiting for final document from Indian Ministry of Telecoms. It's called NOC, sort of a final permit for the closure of the deal. There are no legal obstacles for giving this permission. I think it's only a question of a bureaucratic process and, again, time in India, as we learned, you know, the hard way, things take sometimes much longer time than expected, but certainly we are hoping that we will finally put this issue to rest.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
We'll now take our next question from Igor Goncharov with BCS.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity. I have a question on interim dividends. You mentioned before that until the outcome, if I understood you correctly, until the outcome of the appeal, you're not planning to change your dividend policy or the investment strategy. In this relation, since your dividend policy stipulates the intention for paying dividends twice a year, and since you paid interim dividend based on the result of first half 2016 last year, what is your view with regards to potential interim dividends based on the results of first half 17? Thank you.
Well, we have a very clear dividend policy that states that we pay one of the two, either 6% yield, right? Either 6% dividend yield on the average stock price, or a minimum of 1 ruble 19 kopecks, I think, was the last number. Obviously, and we paid the greater number. So in this case, it refers to this ruble 19 kopecks, and we're not changing this policy so far. So as of today, it remains it remains active.
Yes, yes, thank you very much. But the question is more with regards to the frequency of the of the payments. The policy also mentions that you intend to pay twice a year. I mean, is it still the case? Or
we stick to the announced frequency.
Yes, it will be twice a year, to be precise.
So you plan, do you plan, I mean, what are the chances to see a dividend based on the first half results this year?
Again, Igor, we stick to the policy as is, and but please be also attentive. The policy stipulates that we pay twice a year, but not on the first half results. On the first half results or on the Q3, basically 9 months results. So we will follow the policy.
The decision will be taken following the third quarter results.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We'll now take a question from Maddie Singh with Morgan Stanley.
Yes, hi. Thanks a lot for the call. Just wanted to ask, given all the situation on the court case side, does it impact your investment decisions at this stage? I mean, are you being more cautious right now of putting more money in any of the, you know, growth subsidiaries in that sense? Could that be an issue? Thank you.
As I said, we're not right now kind of changing our strategy or disrupting our everyday business practices. We continue to operate as normal. However, major M&A decisions, you know, if M&A deals are to be approved immediately and cash be paid, we would obviously prefer to wait a month or so to understand where we stand with the arbitration court. So that's pretty much all I can say about this.
Okay, thank you.
And as a final reminder, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment.
Thank you. It appears we have no further questions. We'd like to thank everyone for attending this call. And if you have any further questions, please direct them to our investor relations department. Thank you, everyone. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.